And now, for the show reflecting on classic radio, Hollywood 360, with your host, Carl Amari.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby someone. Abby who?
Abby Normal.
What do you do, Carl? Carl is a inventor slash entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that home run, you know? I mean, when I saw the iPod first time, I was like, yeah, I could have kicked myself.
That was so hard on him.
What's your name?
Carl's my name.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Hello everyone, I'm Carl Amari, and this is Hollywood 360, the radio show that presents the best in classic radio. This hour on Hollywood 360, I'll present the conclusion to Baby Snooks and Daddy, starring Fanny Brice and Hanley Stafford from 1946. Then it's the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Telltale Heart, on the Weird Circle from 1944. With me, as always, is my co-host, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
What are you going to be for Halloween this year?
I think I'm going to be myself.
Really?
Which is,
that's
know,
pretty scary. That is scary, yeah. Mike, how about you? What are you going to be, do you know?
Not sure yet. Yeah. Depends. If I'm going to a Halloween party, I'm going to have to do something really creative. If not, my typical costume is a old-style shirt.
An old-style shirt.
Yeah, a beer delivery guy shirt.
Generally, every year I go as the same person, and I'm going to do it in honor this year because he passed away. Hugh Hefner. I usually dress as Hugh.
You're kidding, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. That's who I usually go as, Hugh Hefner.
That's who you emulate, I suppose.
Yeah, and he passed away this year, and I'll do it right one more time in his honor, right?
Pajamas and slippers?
Oh, yeah, that's what I do.
Silk?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I've got a whole Hugh Hefner outfit.
Great.
Yeah. All right, well, last time we began tuning into the Baby Snooks and Daddy show, broadcast from November 1st, 1946, a Halloween show, starring Fanny Brice. Here is part two, the conclusion of the Baby Snooks and Daddy show.
Ha ha ha! Little children should be home in bed.
Oh, that ought to teach them.
Hey, what's the big idea, bud?
Huh?
Haven't you got anything better to do than to go around scaring kids?
Look, friend, I suggest you mind your own business. One of those kids happens to be my daughter.
Well, one of those kids happens to be my son. And I don't like any overgrown ape with false tusks running around scaring him.
I did it for their own good. Every Halloween, those kids go out and get into trouble. Besides, I don't like your attitude.
Oh, you don't, huh?
No.
Say that again.
I don't like your attitude.
Next time, try scaring somebody your own size. So long.
Oh, what's this? Ah, my teeth! Oh, they're the false ones.
No, Daddy. What are you lying in the gutter for?
I tripped and fell down.
Gee, that's funny.
Now, what's funny about it?
You must have tripped just when that man hit you.
You tell me something. Who was that man?
That was Mr. Hopkins, Roger's father.
Oh, where's he live?
Right down the corner. Why?
Never mind. Come on. Any man who punches your father does so at his own risk.
Why didn't you sock him back?
Because I've got a brain in my head, that's why. Suppose I did punch him back. With the tremendous power I generate, I could easily have broken my hand. 9 chances out of 10, the hand wouldn't have healed straight.
Mm-hmm.
And there I am, faced with the prospect of never playing the piano again.
Oh, but Daddy.
What?
You don't know how to play the piano.
Mind your own business. Pick up that rock.
All right. Here. What are you writing?
Oh, just a little note.
A little note?
Yes. I'm going to throw a scare into that bully. Now, do you see that window in Hopkins' living room?
Mm-hmm.
The one that's open?
Yeah.
Well, I take the rock, thusly.
Mm-hmm.
And I attach the note with a rubber band, thusly. And I draw back my arm, thusly. And with uncanny accuracy, I toss it through the open living room window.
Thusly.
Guess my aim isn't what it used to be. Come on, let's get home.
That was fun, Daddy.
Don't say anything about it to your mother. Well, come on, we'll just sit in the living room as though nothing happened.
What did it say, Daddy?
What?
The note you tied to the rock.
Oh, I just thought I'd worry him a bit. He won't figure that one out in a hurry. All the note said was, guess who?
That's a good one, Daddy.
Yes. Well, it's pretty clever. What was that?
It's a rock. It came through the window. And there's a note on it.
What does the note say?
It says, who?
Uh-huh. Wants to play, does he? Well, two can play at this game.
Can three play?
Yes, come on.
Lancelot, what happened? What was the... Good heavens, who broke our window?
Vandals, Vera. Irresponsible hoodlums. A law-abiding citizen like me hasn't a chance on Halloween.
Where are you going?
Out to chase him away. Let's go, Snooks. Shh, now. Quiet, Snooks. Inch your way forward a little.
Daddy.
What?
I'm tired of crawling on my stomach.
This is the way they do it in the army. If you don't want to be seen, you crawl forward on your stomach.
Yeah, but not down the middle of the sidewalk.
The idea is that we don't want him to see us from the house.
What are we going to do?
I don't know yet. Oh, wait. I've got it. You see this gate here?
Mm-hmm.
See the garage over there?
Yeah.
Well, if Mr. Hopkins wants to use this gate tomorrow morning, he's going to have to climb up on the garage to do it.
You're so smart, Daddy.
You can say that again.
You're so smart.
Never mind, never mind. Let's go to work. Home, sweet home.
Gee, that gate looked funny up on top of the garage.
Yes, it did, didn't it? But I don't want you to get the wrong idea from all this.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things are merely mischievous pranks. Others have a purpose behind them. Understand?
No.
Well, let's put it this way. Your daddy has never been a believer in a policy of appeasement.
Neither have I.
That's the way I like to hear you talk.
What does appeasement mean?
Well, when someone strikes you and you don't strike back, that's appeasement.
How do you like that?
What?
I've been appeasing you and Mommy for years.
Well, off to bed with you, Snooks. After the gate episode, I don't think we're going to hear from Mr. Hopkins again tonight.
I want to stay up and see what else next happens.
Rest your pretty little head.
My pretty little head?
Well, your little head. Nothing's going to happen next. Our friend Mr. Hopkins has shot his bolt. Did you hear something, Snooks?
Yeah. What was it?
I don't know. The window seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be the doctor. Go answer the door, Snooks.
All right. Can't answer the door, Daddy.
Oh, why not?
There ain't no door to answer.
What? No door?
It's gone.
That does it. He wants trouble. All right, he'll get all he's looking for. I got it. A brilliant idea. Run into the kitchen, Snooks, and get some hamburger, a pail of water, and your mother's flat iron.
What do you want with it?
Now, don't ask questions. Just get them.
All right.
Now, before I pay a visit to Mr. Hopkins, I'm going to prepare a little reception for him in case he returns. First, this rope stretched across the front stoop, and up over the trellis. Hurry up, Snooks.
I'm coming, Daddy.
And now another rope stretched this way.
Here you are, Daddy.
Oh, thanks, Snooks. Now I just put the flat iron up here, and the bucket of water goes up on this side. Get the fiendish ingenuity of it?
No.
Well, if an unexpected visitor, say Mr. Hopkins, walks across this side of the porch, he gets the flat iron on his noggin. On the other hand, if he trips the rope on this side, he gets a refreshing bath of aqua pura.
Who gets the hamburger?
I think this hamburger will interest some of the many dogs in our neighborhood. To arms, Snooks. The Higginses ride again.
Yeah, let's go to the dogs. Gee, Daddy, I bet we got 50 dogs following us.
patting them. Just keep dangling that hamburger. And stop nibbling at it.
Can I have a little taste?
Well, what do you want to eat raw hamburger for?
I just want to find out what they see in it.
You'll find out when we toss it through Hopkins' front door. Well, come on, there's the house. Now, here's the strategy, Snooks. One of us knocks on the door. When the door opens, the other one throws the meat inside. The dogs follow the meat, and Hopkins' living room becomes a bedlam. You got it?
Uh-huh. We throw the meat inside.
That's right.
And Hopkins' living room becomes a bedroom.
Not bedroom, bedlam.
What's a bedlam?
Never mind. Go up and knock on that door.
All right.
Now run, Snooks. Here you are, Hopkins. Some groceries.
To Halloween in the Higgins home. Mummy is on the telephone.
What's that, Mrs. Hopkins? Oh, but that doesn't sound possible. You mean you were sitting in your living room minding your own business and my husband threw a pound of raw hamburger in your face? Oh, really, Mrs. Hopkins, my husband wouldn't do a thing like that. Well, it's probably just another Halloween prank. Well, I don't know what you're complaining about. You should see my house. Windows broken, the front door gone, and the door... Good heavens, I've got to hang up, Mrs. Hopkins. A strange man just staggered in here and fell unconscious at my feet.
Oh, get me a doctor.
Who are you?
I'm the doctor. The insurance doctor.
You poor man, what happened?
Somebody hit me with a flat iron.
Oh, dear. Oh, here comes my husband. He'll help you.
Oh, what's the trouble, Vera?
What happened, Mummy?
Oh, Lancelot, this poor man is the insurance doctor. Somebody hit him with a flat iron.
A flat iron? Shocking.
Oh, Daddy, that must have been the iron.
Snooks, run into the kitchen and get the doctor a glass of water.
All right.
Oh, my head.
Okay, doctor. Up we go. On your feet. There. How do you feel now?
A little wobbly, thanks, but I guess I'll be all right. Are you Mr. Higgins?
Yes. Would you prefer to skip the examination for tonight?
No, as long as I'm here, I might as well get it over with. I'll get my bag. It's out in the car.
Oh, fine. Oh, doctor, look out for...
Oh, the poor man. Lancelot, who put that water bucket up there?
Vandals.
Daddy! Daddy!
Get out of the way, Snooks. I've got to drag the doctor back in.
Oh, how do you feel, old man?
Oh, my head. What's going on here?
Here, drink some water. Give me that glass of water, Snooks.
I didn't get it.
Didn't get it? I told you to bring a glass of water for the doctor. Why didn't you get it?
I was scared.
Now, what could you possibly be scared of?
There's a horse in the kitchen.
A horse?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. What would a horse be doing in the kitchen?
Eating the curtains.
Good heavens, there is a horse in the kitchen.
Not anymore, he's coming right here.
Stand back, everybody. Look out, doctor. The horse is going to step on you.
Poor man, I hope he carries insurance.
He's gone. Out the front door.
Are you all right, doctor? Let me help you out.
Oh, what a house. Help me to my car. I want to go home.
Oh, sure, doctor. I'm terribly sorry.
He's down again.
Oh, what hit him?
A rocket just came through the window.
Oh, another one, eh? And there's a note attached to it. What does it say?
It says, thanks for the dogs. Here's a horse on you.
Why, that low-down
Lancelot,
dirt.
What is this all about? What's going on here tonight?
I'll explain it to you later, Vera. Meanwhile, there's work to be done. Come on, Snooks.
All right. What are we going to do this time, Daddy?
This time, he gets the works. It's a little trick I learned in college called the sunken living room. It's fiendish in its simplicity. I merely climb a tree beside his house and drop the end of a garden hose down his chimney.
And I turn it on?
You guessed it.
Snooks! Snooks, where are you running to?
I can't talk to you now, Phoebe. I gotta call the fire department.
What for?
My daddy stuck head first in Mr. Hopkins' chimney. He fell out of a tree.
shall come, Snooks, unless there's a fire.
There is a fire, all right. Mr. Hopkins is building it in his fireplace. How's your father feeling today? That's good. Oh, the doctor says my daddy'll be all right in a couple of days. Yeah, as soon as they take the stitches out. What? Oh, I'd love to come over and go waiting in your living room. But I can't leave the house. My daddy won't let me. I don't understand it. But he says every time he lets me out of his sight, I get into trouble. Ain't daddy's funny?
Well, Snooks has done it again. She's really wonderful. And we hope you'll be with us next week when Snooks gets going in another of her amazing adventures. Be sure to listen to The Thin Man, which follows in just 1 minute. Heard in tonight's Baby Snooks Show, starring Fanny Bryce as Snooks and Hanley Stafford as Daddy, were Arlene Harris, Ben Alexander, Frank Nelson, Georgia Ellis, Sarah Berner, and Robert Vance. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that's Baby Snooks and Daddy from November 1st, 1946, a Halloween show starring Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford. Also in that cast, we heard Arlene Harris, Georgia Ellis, and Frank Nelson with Harlow Wilcox announcing, sponsored by Jell-O, was heard on CBS. When we come back from the break, it's the Weird Circle. Stick around.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages. Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
It is time for The Weird Circle. This was a mystery anthology series of classic thrillers from the pens of the world's best-known and respected fiction authors of the 19th century. I hope you'll enjoy the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Tell-Tale Heart, from January 30th, 1944. Here's part one of The Weird Circle.
Voices out of the fog, out of the night, out of the mystery of yesterday, bring back a world gone by. Listen to The Weird Circle. Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, the tell-tale heart.
Eight o'clock in the evening. House is quiet. Deathly quiet. My uncle and I have just finished our meager repast in the dining room. Listen. Yes, that's my uncle walking up and down overhead, pacing the floor. He senses it too, my nervousness. Every night after dinner, he leaves the dining room and goes upstairs to the second floor, where he paces up and down. And suddenly, his heart begins to beat louder and louder. You can't hear it, but I can. My nervousness has sharpened my senses. Yes, I can hear things no one else can hear. Confound my senses. Footsteps. They've stopped. Now he'll walk down the circular stairway and join me here in the parlor. And I'll have to look at him, watch him. That eye. I've nothing against him. But his eye. That huge, distorted eye.
If the eye offends thee, pluck it out.
Pluck it out.
Tortures me at night. I lie in bed and shut my eyes. But that horrible thing peers at me, embedded in my senses. That eye glistens and shimmers. It haunts me.
Kill.
Yeah.
Kill. I have nothing against him. My uncle, my only relative.
The eye.
Pluck out the eye.
The eye. The eye. He's coming, yes, now down the stairs, sniffing as he blinks. The swollen lid covers that eye. Uncle, is that you?
Is it me? Of course it is. Who else would it be, Charles?
I don't know.
Now for a nice hour of relaxation. Will you join me in a cigar, Charles? Here, take this one of mine.
Thank you, Uncle.
Sit down here.
I'd prefer sitting back here, Uncle.
Oh, nonsense. I can't see you over there, and you can't see me. Come. Come sit over here.
I'd much prefer to stay here.
Do you dislike my company after all these years, Charles?
No, Uncle. All right, I'll join you. But...
why are you staring at me like that?
The eye.
Look at the eye.
Staring at you.
Red and swollen, hideous.
A pale blue film covers it.
Kill.
Kill.
Charles?
Yes, Uncle?
Come, light up your cigar. Here's a light. Now, that's better, my boy. These cigars have a rich, fragrant aroma. A very rich, fragrant aroma. It lulls a man's nerves into a peaceful state. Leaves the mind free for contemplation, doesn't it?
Kill.
Yes, Uncle.
Yeah.
Nothing like the hours spent meditatively. Oh, blasted visitors. You answer the bell, Charles.
Yes, Uncle.
I dislike being interrupted like this. It's bad for my digestion. People should know that.
Good evening, Mr. Holtz.
Well, good evening, Charles. I hope you and your uncle don't mind a nice neighborly visit.
I'm sure we don't, Mr. Holtzcombe.
I'm glad.
That's the first half of The Weird Circle. More after these words.
Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Now back to The Weird Circle.
I was all alone this evening and felt the need of a nice, friendly chat, so I dropped over. Good evening, Mr. Woodward.
Good evening, Mr. Holtzcombe. How are you this evening?
Feeling surprisingly fit. Man of my age has no right feeling so healthy. Bad for the doctor's income, but I feel like a man of 20. Just as fit physically and mentally as Charles here.
Thank you, Mr. Holtz.
Won't you join us for a little while, Mr. Holtz?
You'd love to. Yes, indeed. I'd enjoy it.
Can't be for long. I'm retiring early, but a short visit would be appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Mind if I light up my pipe?
No, not at all, Mr. Holtzcombe. Charles, get him an ashtray before he scatters the ashes all over the carpet.
Yes, Uncle. Here you are, Mr. Holtzcombe.
Thank you, Charles. Well, 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 what's this?
Well, as any idiot can plainly see, it's a knife.
Yes, a knife, Mr. Woodward. It's a strange-looking knife.
Belonged to our ancestors. Charles, what's it doing down here off the hook on the wall?
I took it down from the wall to clean it, Uncle.
Clean it? Well, old knives are supposed to look old.
Clean it.
Clean it?
I'll put it back.
Be careful, Charles, my boy. I knew of a young man exactly your age who took a family heirloom down from the wall one night and blasted if it didn't slip and cut off his right arm. Yes, took the arm clean off right to the elbow. He was a mechanic by profession, and it ruined his career.
Be careful, Charles, in putting the knife back. You'd better stand on a chair, Charles. It's much wiser to take an ounce of prevention.
Yes, your uncle's right.
How's that, Uncle?
Well, it's not hanging straight. I like things to hang straight. It annoys me to have something crooked on the wall.
Yes, means a death in the family. One of the pictures in my house was crooked on the wall the night of my wife's death. Now, I'm not a superstitious man, mind you, but I...
Yeah, that does it, Charles.
All right.
Now, put the chair back where you got it. Yeah,
I'm not a superstitious man, mind you, but I was confounded when she died. Confounded, I tell you.
Yes, I imagine that you were confounded.
Of course, that coincidence really doesn't compare with an event which occurred to a friend of mine. His name was, very common name. What was it? Smith. Peter Smith.
Yeah, well, what about Peter Smith?
He had a picture on the wall in his home. Well, this picture sidled over on its wire, refusing to stay upright.
The picture refused?
I swear it's true, Mr. Woodward. Well, I was there, if you don't believe me. Do you know what happened?
No, I do not know what happened.
Peter Smith died that very night.
All right. What time is it, Charles?
Almost 9 o'clock, Uncle.
3 more hours. 3 more hours.
If thine eye offends thee, pluck it out.
It's 9 o'clock. It's almost my bedtime, Mr. Holskin.
Oh, don't mind me, Mr. Woodward. I was about to leave anyway. I see. Look at the knife hanging on the wall. It slipped sideways again.
So it has.
Anxious? Anxious, Charles?
The knife is anxious.
It reminds me of Peter Smith's picture. Well, I must be on my way. Don't bother to see me to the door, Charles. I'll find my way out. Good evening, Mr. Woodward.
Good evening, Mr. Holskin. Confounded, Anna. That man makes me nervous, Charles, with his stupid stories of Smith. Fix that knife, Charles.
Of course, Uncle. I'll fix it right away.
I'm tired. I'll go on up to bed now.
I'll help you up the stairs, Uncle.
Help me? Since when do I need help? Well, maybe I do, then.
Anything else you wanted me besides opening this window, Uncle?
No, nothing, Charles.
I'd better take this chair out of your way.
Oh, the chair isn't in my way.
In case you should awake during the night and want to get out of bed. You don't want to stumble over chairs on your way to the door.
I never awake during the night, Charles.
But you might.
Or we might. Yes, we might. We might creep in here.
I might, yes, I might. Oh, I might do anything, my boy. I also might not. Now take the candle with you before you leave, Charles.
Of course, Uncle. I hadn't intended to leave it burning.
Of course. We'll take it with us.
Of course. Of course.
Good night.
Good night. 9:30. 9:30. I must be clever. I must think everything out very carefully.
Yes, carefully.
Must wait till midnight. Yes, till midnight. Why must I wait till midnight? Why?
That's the plan. The clever plan.
Clever, clever.
Walk down the stairs and wait in the parlor. The room will be dark. And I'll wait. I'll wait. He'll be asleep by midnight.
Clever, clever.
Then at midnight I'll creep up the stairs with a knife. And if the eye offends me, pluck it out. It must have meant me. Of course, it's all so clear.
Clear, clear and clever.
First thing to do is get the knife. Go into the parlor. Stand on the chair and get the knife.
Be careful, Charles.
Careful, careful, careful with the chair. You pull up the chair and stand on it, but be careful.
I'm always careful. Now I've the knife. What do I do next? What is the plan?
Sit and wait. Sit and wait.
Oh, the doorbell. Could it be at this hour? This isn't part of my plan. No, not part of my plan.
Get rid of them, whoever they are. Get rid of them.
Oh, Mr. Holscombe.
Sorry to disturb you, Charles, but I left my pipe here. I looked all over my house for the blasted thing before I remembered I'd left it here.
Well, it must be in the parlor.
Don't bother yourself. I'll get it.
It's no bother.
Why, you're a trembling, Charlie. Did I frighten you when I rang the bell?
Well, I wasn't expecting you.
No, not expecting you.
Expecting you.
I read of a man in the paper who died of fright when his doorbell rang. Just the other day I read it. Very amusing article, too. Oh, here's the pipe. Imagine my leaving it behind.
Yes, imagine it.
Thanks again, Chuck. What's this knife doing down here again?
It slipped.
Slipped again, did it? Well, well, well. Just like the picture at Peter Smith's.
If, let me know if anything happened.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Good night, Charles.
Good night, Mr. Holscombe. Now, the plan. The plan to wait. Wait. Wait for midnight. For midnight. Yes, for midnight.
Don't forget the plan, Charles.
Strike with the clock at midnight.
Midnight. How slow time flows when we wait for midnight.
Yes, slowly. So very slowly.
Does Holscombe suspect Charles?
He knows that the knife had been moved.
Does he know it's in your hand now, Charles?
Snugly in your hand.
The plan calls for the knife to be in my hand.
Charles, your palms are moist.
Maybe the knife will slip, Charles.
It's almost midnight.
Yes, Charles. 15 seconds.
Maybe the knife will slip, Charles.
It can't slip. It belongs in my hand.
Where is the lantern, Charles?
You've got to see, you know.
I have it. It's ready.
Listen, Charles.
Listen.
Midnight. 12 midnight.
The time has come.
Yes, the time has come.
Now for the lantern. Light it. Shut the door of the lantern. No light can escape. None. None.
The lantern in one hand.
The knife in the other.
The knife.
The knife.
Listen. The house is so quiet. Yes, deathly quiet. I must walk quietly.
Listen.
Listen.
My senses sharpen. Every second makes them sharper. I can hear the rhythmic beating of the old man's heart. The beating of his heart.
Beating out his last breath.
His last breath.
His last breath. Do you know death is outside your door, Uncle? Death is waiting, Uncle, waiting. The door of your room opens gently, Uncle. Very gently, Uncle.
Careful, the plant.
Careful, careful.
Listen. Listen. The heart. The beating of the old man's heart.
Who's there?
Stand still, Charles.
Stand still and wait. Just wait. Wait until his gleaming eye is focused on your face.
Who's in my room? Who is this? Where's my candle?
Don't answer, Charles. Don't answer.
Just wait. Wait.
Charles! Charles!
He's calling for you. Little does he know.
Charles!
Calling for you.
Calling for you.
Oh, someone's in my room. I can see the shadow across my bed. Who is it?
Let him guess and worry, worry.
Worry.
The room is hot, hot in heaven's name. Answer me!
Don't move a muscle. Just stand still and wait. Wait.
Wait, wait.
Oh, what is it? Who is it? Where is Charles?
Listen to his heart.
His heart. Listen to his heart.
Now it's panic. Later, it will be the forewarning of death.
Oh, somebody help me.
Now raise the lantern. slowly, Charles.
That's it. Focus it where the eyes should be.
Then slowly open the door of the lantern and let the light shine in that eye.
Oh! If the eye offends thee, pluck it out.
The eye! No! No! Not the knife! Not the knife!
Listen to the heart beat its last beats.
It's dead. And I'm free of that horror. Free of the eye. Of the scorpion eye. The horrible scorpion eye.
Clever, clever, Charles. Burying the body where no one will ever suspect it to be.
Clever.
Yes, I am clever.
Underneath the floor in the parlor.
Underneath the floor in the parlor.
Yes, right here beneath me. I must be careful, very careful.
You are careful. Hammer the nails in straight.
The nails are important.
Very important.
One more nail, and then my job is done. One. Two. Now what? Oh, yes. Pull the big upholstered chair over the grave. There. And then place the carpet just as it was in front of it.
Clever.
Yes, I am clever. Very clever. The plan has worked. He's dead. And no one knows.
No one knows?
I've cleaned up his bedroom, scrubbed it, put his clothes away. Not even a bloodstain remains to give me away.
Not one?
Not one. No trace. No trace at all.
You're positive.
Of course I'm positive.
Clever, Charles.
Of course I'm clever. Today I'll tell the neighbors my uncle left for the country.
Will they believe you?
Of course they'll believe me.
Believe you?
And tomorrow, early tomorrow morning, I'll say I'm leaving to join my uncle in the country. It's so easy. I'll disappear. Disappear completely from the world. Forever from that eye. That huge, distorted eye.
So I dropped over to this precinct station, Inspector Gelby, and thought I'd tell you about it.
Yes, a very strange story, Mr. Holscombe. You say this old man, Mr. Woodward, has never left town for the baths before?
Not for the last 20 years, sir. I've been their neighbor for longer than that, really.
And the nephew, Charles Woodward. How did he seem this morning?
Very much the same as usual. Perhaps a trifle more chipper. Said he was looking forward to joining his uncle at the baths tomorrow.
And you're positive this scream you heard last night came from the direction of the Woodward house?
Absolutely. I was standing at my window at the time, looking out. It must have been a little past midnight. Suddenly I saw a gleam of light from Mr. Woodward's bedroom and then the scream.
Scream last long?
No. But I'm positive no unimportant explanation is behind the scream.
It sounds fishy enough, Mr. Holscombe. Certainly no harm in investigating it. The boy is innocent. He'll be glad enough to allow us to search his uncle's bedroom. If he's guilty, well, we'll know in good time. Yes, in very good time.
Mind if I go with you?
Not at all. Like to have you along, Holscombe. You're always welcome.
This isn't a case of idle curiosity, Inspector. It's just that I enjoy collecting these little tales of death and murder. I've made it a life hobby, and I hate to miss an opportunity. Yes, I hate to miss an opportunity.
Search the house, Inspector, if you don't believe me. My uncle's room is right at the top of these stairs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
My uncle'll be very amused by all this when I tell him.
Oh, it's not that either I nor Mr. Holscombe suspect anything, you know.
No, certainly not, Charlie, my boy.
Of course not. Yep. This is my uncle's room, as you no doubt know, Mr. Holscombe.
Yes, of course it is.
Search to your heart's content.
Room's in perfect order.
If I murdered my uncle mysteriously, there ought to be at least one bloodstain on the bedclothes, or or on the floor.
Mind if I undo the bed to look at the sheets?
Well, not at all, Inspector.
Careful.
You are clever, clever, but be careful.
The bed sheets are used, but there's certainly no sign of violence here.
Well, naturally, Inspector.
And the floors? Spotless. Your uncle must be a very neat man.
Exceedingly neat. Isn't he, Mr. Holscombe?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry we bothered you like this, sir. But you know it's better to be on the safe side.
Well, I understand perfectly, Inspector.
I'm sorry, Charles.
Perfectly all right, Mr. Holscombe. I would have done the same thing in your shoes. Won't you gentlemen join me in the parlor for a cup of tea before you leave?
Well, we'd be too much trouble.
No trouble at all, I guarantee you. No trouble at all. Here, I better close the door to Uncle's room before dust blows through from the hallway. You know my uncle's fetish. Well, I'll join you gentlemen in the parlor shortly, after I fetch the tea.
Very amusing story. A very amusing story, Miss Alston.
I always thought so, Inspector Gilby.
You collect stories of crime, don't you, Mr. Holtz?
Yes, indeed. I found some prize ones in my day.
Yes, I imagine you have.
He'd enjoy your story, Charles.
Yes, he'd enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Pass the sugar, Inspector, please.
Huh? Oh, yes, here you are.
Listen, Charles.
What is it?
Listen, listen.
What'd you say, Charles?
Nothing.
I've a very amusing story about a woman in India. I read it in the paper the other morning just as I was eating some very fine orange marmalade.
Listen, listen.
It's the heart, Charles. The old man's heart.
The heart, the heart. You can hear it.
No. No, it can't be. What can't be? He denies the truth of my story even before I tell it.
What about the woman in India?
Can it be? Can it be the beating of the old man's heart? Well, she murdered a rich uncle of hers. Can a man I murdered return to life?
It's getting louder and louder.
Louder and louder.
Why did she murder him?
No known motive. They're playing with me. They're both watching me. Watching me.
Watching you. Watching you.
Well, how did she murder him?
Cut him in little pieces and hid him under the flooring in her bedroom.
Under the flooring? Under the flooring.
Making a mockery of a living horror.
They know, Charles. They know.
They know, Charles. They know.
What's the matter, Charles? He looks ill.
Ill?
Ill.
Make it stop. Make it stop!
They're playing with you.
Playing with
no.
you.
No. Watch him, Inspector. He's
fools. Don't play with me like this. You can hear it. I can see it in your faces. In your evil, grinning faces. You can hear it.
The heart. The telltale heart.
Return from death.
Admit you can hear it. It's becoming louder and louder. Louder and louder.
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 Stop it. Stop it. I admit the deed. I admit I murdered my uncle last night. Only for the love of God. Make his hideous heart stop beating.
You murdered?
Yes. Yes, I murdered him. Tear up the plank underneath his chair. Rescue the body. But stop the beating of the telltale heart.
Telltale heart.
Telltale heart.
Cease. The past will return and the stories of yesterday unfold. Listen to the Weird Circle.
And that's the Weird Circle from January 30th, 1944, with the Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe is heard on NBC. Let's take a break, then it's more after these words.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages. Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Next time, Orson Welles stars in the Black Museum. Then, Jack Benny goes trick-or-treating from 1948 on the Jack Benny program. We'll see you next time.